All right. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Jeff renamed John O'Melia this morning. He's now John A. Baptist. I liked it. Amen. All right. John chapter 18, if you would. I don't know how we managed to do this, but all three sermons today will come out of John, the book of John. But we are going to be in John chapter 18, beginning in verse number 10. Now, if you remember, they are in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before Jesus' crucifixion. So John chapter 18, if you see verse number 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. So verse number 15, the another disciple is John himself, which wrote this particular epistle, this particular gospel. But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. God, we ask this morning as we study, as we look into your word, to help us to understand this situation, what what Peter was thinking, maybe, what he did, and how that applies in our lives. God, thank you for your restoration. Thank you for your forgiveness. And I pray that we might learn something about that as well this morning. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated. This morning I have titled this message, When the Cock Crows for You. Peter's betrayal of Jesus, his denials of Jesus, are a part of the Bible that, frankly, for many of us, kind of even cause us a little bit every once in a while to shudder. Because we don't want to be like Peter. We don't want to deny Christ, do we? Yeah. We don't want to hear the cock crow. We don't want the tears to stream down our face because of our shame. In Luke 22, verse 61, it says, And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. In Mark 14, verse 72, it says, And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he thought thereon, he wept. It's hard to read a passage like this because it would be a lot easier if Peter hadn't been saved. If Peter hadn't known Christ or was going to get saved later, that makes it a lot easier. However, we know Peter was saved. We know Peter knew the Lord. And we know that even though he knew Jesus, he denied the very same Lord that he had just tried to defend in the Garden of Gethsemane. Scares us, doesn't it? Think that could be me. And we wonder, have I ever been like Peter? One moment I'm defending God, and the next moment I'm denying God. Boy, there's a great lesson to be learned. One that's very preventative, hopefully. Amen? Now, one thing that we see as we go through these verses is to begin in verse number 10 and 11, we find out nothing could stop God's plan. Nothing could stop what God was going to do. Now, Peter does try to defend Jesus. And he pulls out his sword and he takes a swipe at this guy and he ends up cutting off his ear. Now that tells you something about Peter. If he was aiming for the guy's head, he was not a very good swordsman. Amen? Come on. And here's something amazing. When you read in Luke chapter 22, verse number 51, Jesus healed the ear of Malchus that had been cut off. Now, I want you to think about in today's world, Frank Azar would come and would help Malchus. Everybody knows who Frank Azar is, right? Come on. And Frank says, well, Malchus wants $100,000 so he can be on one of my commercials. No, so that he can get some money out of this. And the judge says, okay, he cut off his ear. Show me. But the ear's still there. And the judge says, case dismissed. Amen? But here's the thing. Jesus heals his enemies, even those that come against him. And that's all of us. And Jesus reminds him while this is happening, he says, put up thy sword. says you don't need that. It's not a physical fight. Now, had it been a physical fight, Jesus could have defended himself very well. The same crowd he had taken down with one word when he said, "I am." He could have called in 12 legions of angels. Now, I want you to think, in the end times, when you're reading the Revelation, it's between 3 and 7 angels that literally destroy this entire earth. 12 legions, 12,000 angels, if they had come down and defended Jesus, there would have been nothing left. That's grace, amen. And Jesus says, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" See, Jesus knew what had to be done, and he was willing to come and to take the punishment of your sins and my sins. God had determined that the only way that sin could be conquered is if there was a perfect offering, and that perfect offering had to be his Son. That's the purpose Christ was born. And he was not willing to say no, even if he had to go all the way through the cross. Now in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." The just for the unjust. Peter's not the only unjust, is he? That's all of us. But he died for all of us. And nothing could alter God's will. And that's the praise. The praise is that God determined to give you and to me salvation. And he was going to do it no matter the cost. Now, here we have these guys. Now they are moving into the high priest's palace. Now, how many of y'all notice? Okay, we got Annas and we got Caiaphas. Which one of them's the high priest? And the answer is yes. Here's the thing. The high priest, who actually was Annas, according to the Jewish law, is to be high priest for his entire life. However, they are controlled by the Romans. So Quirinius, who was the Roman governor back in the time that Jesus was born, deposed Annas and made Caiaphas the high priest. Now, you read about him in Luke chapter 2, verse 2. He's called Cyrenius. But the next guy comes in and changes it around. Why were they doing this? Well, it was pretty simple. High priests had a lot of power. And the Romans kept changing out the high priest in order to cut through their power base. And that way, that person had to be beholden to the Roman government to keep their position. Smart by the Romans, isn't it? Yeah. So the answer is yes, they both are. And that's why it says in verse number 13, Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year, because they had no idea if he would be the next year. But the Jews still showed honor to Annas, and that's why Jesus was brought before him first. Now, Peter, because of John, was let into the palace of the high priest. John had relatives that were in the priesthood, therefore he had access. Now, Peter chooses to hang back. Goes back near the fire, who knows why. Maybe he felt uncomfortable. Maybe he didn't want to get that close. We don't know. But we see in verse number 17, the lady that keeps the door looks at Peter and says, "Are not thou also one of this man's disciples?" And here's Peter's first denial. I am not. We don't know if she caught the fact that he was let in by John or that he has a Galilean accent, but she associates Peter with the Lord. But Peter will not admit that he belongs to Jesus. It could happen to any of us. We get into a situation where we get questioned real hard. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we're afraid of the situation, and we could do the same, couldn't we? Pretty easy for us to associate with what Peter did, isn't it? Come on. We want to be honest about who we are, don't we? What the possibilities are. Now, in verse number 19, they begin to question Jesus. In a number of hours, Jesus is going to go through six trials. He begins with Annas. He is then sent to Caiaphas. Caiaphas sends him to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin send him to Pilate. Pilate sends him to Herod. And then Herod sends him back to Pilate. That would be draining of itself, wouldn't it? Annas begins to question him, and he questions about his doctrine and what he had taught. Now, if you'll notice, Jesus says, I have not done this in secret. As a matter of fact, I've taught all of this publicly. And he knew this because he knew that these men knew. They had been at the temple when he was preaching. They had sent out their spies to find out what Jesus was saying. They had tried to tempt Jesus to try to get him to break the law, hadn't they? Jesus wouldn't play their game. He's God. He's smarter than that. But in a Jewish court, and that's what this is, the burden was laid on the prosecution. And that's why Jesus says, bring forth your witnesses. His business was the business of God. He knew it would stand up to scrutiny. And that's when the Jews go and break the law further. Verse number 22 says that one of the officers slaps Jesus. They broke the law because the law didn't allow for that. But isn't it amazing, our hypocrisy? Well, hold it. Aren't we talking about them? Yes. Are we talking about us? Yes. Don't we love the law until we don't like the law? Don't we love what the law says until we don't like what it tells us to do? One of the officers didn't like Jesus' response, so he slaps him. And Jesus asks him, he says, oh, well, hold it. If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. Where are your witnesses that I've said that which is evil? You see, they couldn't slap him until there had been two witnesses that it established that he had even spoken evil. They didn't have those either, did they? So Jesus says, if it's well, if I've spoken well, if I haven't lied, why are you slapping me? That's when they send him away to Caiaphas, because they've already kind of given it all, played their cards, and they lost in the first trial because Jesus calls them according to the law. Whew, you don't want to play games with God, do you? You don't want to play games with God, do you? Amen. Yeah. So now he's before Caiaphas. And it doesn't tell us much in verse number 24, except that he's there, another mock trial. But they had to do these things before they could send him up to Pilate. It was a requirement. Now, we get into verse number 25, and we're going to get into Peter's second and third denial. And Peter had already denied once when he got there. And if you remember, after the Lord's Supper, after Jesus had washed the feet of Peter, he looked at Peter in John chapter 13, verse 38, and said, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." It's a really interesting word, the word denied. Because when you begin to study it, it means to forget oneself or to lose sight of oneself. You ever done that? Forgot who you are? That's exactly what it means. And he says, Peter, you're going to forget who you are. And those that are standing around this fire ask Peter, are you one of Jesus' disciples? In verse number 25, I am not. Peter's not willing to tell the truth. And Matthew tells us, if you read his gospel, that Peter even used an oath. I promise you, I'm not. It's a little bit stronger than just I am not, isn't it? The third denial comes when one of these servants of the high priest, who was a kinsman to Malchus, says, hold it, didn't I see you in the garden? Didn't I see you? Weren't you the one with the sword? Peter the third time says, no. If you read from Matthew, Matthew tells us that the old fisherman came out. How many of y'all have ever heard that old phrase, they cuss like a sailor? Peter was a fisherman. And Matthew says the curse words began to come out of his mouth. It began to curse and swear and say, I don't know him. And that's when the cock crowed. Roosters don't normally crow at night. But when they do, because everything else is quiet, it just pierces. You can hear it for a very long way. In other words, can you imagine that even though not everybody understood, it's kind of like it just stopped. Not a word was spoken, but Peter's heart was cut to the core. He remembered the words of his Savior. In Luke 22, verse 62, it says, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter was a saved man, ladies and gentlemen. He knew the Lord as his Savior, but even so, he denied Christ. And that's the lesson of this story. Because you and I know most of your testimonies. Most of y'all have told the pastor a testimony. I'm saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And even those that know him can deny him. And we know his life. And we know his love. And we know the peace that comes from the forgiveness that God can give to us through his Son. So I want to use that, and we'll wrap this up somewhat quickly, but I want to talk about when the cock crows for you, for me, So let's use that cock crowing at night to be symbolic for our lives. Now, there's one time when the cock can crow for people's lives, and we could call it the crow of death. So this is the person that has chosen to deny the Lord Jesus Christ and deny his salvation. And one day the cock will crow for that life. It'll symbolize the end of that life. They will die in denial of who Jesus Christ is. And upon the end of that life, that is in denial, they will find that they are denied by God. Paul in 2 Timothy 2 verse 12 said, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." I don't know that there's a surprise by anyone that stands in front of God and is denied. But I sure don't want to be denied before God. How about you? Can you imagine coming before God and to be denied by God? You say, "Well, I haven't technically denied God. It's not that I'm denying him." Well, do you all remember in John chapter 3, verse number 18, when Jesus says, "He that believeth not is condemned already"? The failure to do anything is denial, isn't it? We have to remember that. That person that says later, that's denial. As well as the person that says no. We have the opportunity now to seek Christ as Savior. But there's no opportunity, as we're using the thought now, after the cock crows. There's also the cock crowing because you and I can deny Jesus before others. Early in my Christian walk, I wasn't a very good Christian. And I don't think that anybody would have even accused me of being one of his disciples at first. But sometimes we just don't want to admit who we are. That's to live a very conflicted life, isn't it? It's hard on us. You know that you're God's child, but you won't tell anybody about it. That means we're hiding our relationship with Christ. And it's not just that we're denying Christ, it's that we're denying the blessings that go with being a child of Christ. Because it's really good to be God's child, isn't it? And when we live like it, he sure does bless, doesn't he? And I don't, and you don't, we don't want to be without that. It's not the same when we deny Christ. We're kind of like Peter. I want you all to think about it. Between that moment when the cock crowed and on the beach when Jesus restored him, how was Peter's heart and life? Did he feel really separated from God? Did he feel like there was not much hope? Did he live in shame? Come on, the answers are yes, 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 aren't they? Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, that's real. And it tells us you and I can get to that spot. And it should worry us. And we need to confess to this world, "I belong to Jesus Christ." Amen. there might be what I would call the crow of disobedience. And that's where Peter was in between the day that Jesus died and the day that Peter and him had the conversation in John 21 on the beach. He realized he was disobeying God. How many of y'all, when it says that he wept bitterly, you have a picture of a single tear running down his cheek? How many of y'all know this phrase? It was an ugly cry. That's the lady, and I use ladies because y'all use some makeup every once in a while. That's the lady that it's all running down her face. And it's ugly. Guys, we can do this, but we don't have all the, you know, help. Amen? But y'all know what I'm talking about, an ugly cry. Something tells me that was an ugly cry. It says that he went out. Do you realize that Peter was so ashamed that he didn't want anybody else to see him? I know, this is hard. Sunday morning sermons are supposed to be rah, 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 amen, go God, amen? But this is life. And we need life sometimes. In Psalm 25, verse 9, it says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." Ladies and gentlemen, God's not asking you to be Billy Graham. What he's asking you is to be real. And if somebody says to you, "Do you belong to Jesus?" the answer ought to be yes. And it's okay to say, "I'm not the perfect example, but I belong to him." And therefore, the glory goes to him. Can you imagine? I got to imagine the day that Jesus and Peter are sitting on that beach after they've all eaten, and Jesus restores Peter and grants him forgiveness and puts him back to where he was. Can you imagine the weight that came off of Peter? You've felt that weight, and so have I. The weight of shame, the weight of disappointment. It's the weight of disobedience, isn't it? God wants it to be gone. As a matter of fact, after that moment, Peter's life was changed to the place that Peter never again, that we know of, denied Jesus. But he had to learn it the hard way. I was talking to Dennis before the services, and I said, "Why don't you just, you know, take next week off the way you should?" He says, "Well," and I said, "and you can pretend your phone doesn't work so they won't, you know, you don't have to answer all those calls." He says, "Oh, these young kids, they don't know anything. They make a lot of mistakes." I said, "Weren't you baptized by fire?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, look." He says, "But the problem is they burn." And I said, "I burned. These are the remains." How many of y'all feel like that every once in a while? It's okay. It's okay, because God can rebuild your life. Amen. Can't he? Yeah. That's the point of this. It's not just Peter's failure. It's what God can do. Amen. One more time, the cock will crow. And that cock is going to sound like a trumpet. Because when the Lord returns for us, he's going to call us home. That's the one we want. Amen? Amen? That's the day we're looking forward to, is when Jesus calls us home. Well, we got to be his child to be called home. Amen. That's what changes where our home is. Our home doesn't need to be on this earth. It needs to be in heaven. But I want you to think about it. There's four crows. Death, denial, disobedience, or home? When the cock crows for you, where are you going? It's a good way to think about it, isn't it? And I realize we're just using it symbolically. It's not literally going to... Okay, if God chooses to use a rooster for the trumpet, don't blame me, okay? I understand. But I want you to get the thought of walking with Jesus daily. The Lord's done so much for us.
Amen.
To be able to say, yes, I am. Doesn't make you more than what you are. It speaks about the greatness of who He is. Amen?
Amen.
God, this morning, as you are speaking to hearts and lives, they know where they're at. They know whether they have accepted you as Lord and Savior or not. And if there is someone that is here that does not know you as Savior, God, I pray that this morning would be that day. And for those of us that know you as Savior, we can sure see a lot of Peter in us. God, we don't want to be those that deny you. We don't want to be those that disobey you. So we ask that you would strengthen our lives, strengthen our resolve to just speak the truth about who we are in you. And Lord, one day, when that trumpet does blow, we pray to just gracefully come home to you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the blessings. What a great God you are. Thank you for enduring the ugliness of mankind so that we might be saved. What a wonderful God you are. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. This morning, Brother Jack has chosen for us to sing number 543. It's Jesus, I Come. If you need to spend some time on the altar, maybe something in the words of Peter or Jesus have touched your heart and you need some time for prayer, that's what the invitation is for. If not, let's stand. We'll sing Jesus, I Come, number 543.